Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Good to have you with us today in advance. We have a very interesting article that you'll want to stay tuned for. It's called Fear of Flying. So now we're going to talk about the fear of something. Fear, that's a very frightening word. And so I'm glad that Bill and Lois are going to be with me today. I'm Doris, and we're all going to talk about being afraid. Are you afraid of this lesson?
No, I'm not afraid of it. I actually look forward to it. Doris, this is a great topic, fear of flying.
Well, fear, you know, sometimes the reason people don't use their English is they have a fear of speaking. We have a lot of fears in our lives, don't we, Lois?
Yes, we can, Doris. I hope we try not to, but there are times in our life where we might be very fearful.
Well, sometimes a little fear is good. Like a child that doesn't have any fear, they might touch the hot stove and get burned. So we have to have a little bit of fear to make us be cautious. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, fear can actually keep us from getting into trouble. So fear is not always a bad thing. It prevents us from doing some dumb things. So,
but when we have fears that don't really make sense, then we sometimes call those another word. You know what that word is I'm thinking of?
Phobia. Phobia.
A phobia is a kind of a fear that's kind of unreasonable.
Yeah.
It's just too much. Taekwafunda.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today, the fear of flying. And I'm glad that Lois is here because she flies a lot. Why do you fly so often?
Well, Doris, I fly so often because my husband for a living is a commercial pilot. So oftentimes it's maybe to catch up with him and see him in the cities he might be in. Or also, Doris, our family lives very far away in Canada, in Toronto, so we want to go and visit them as well.
Well, it's a good thing you don't have a fear of flying. That would be too bad.
That's right, Doris. But, you know, I know a number of pilot wives that do. So it's kind of too bad because they actually never travel unless it's in a car.
I think flying is kind of exciting. I like flying. Don't you, Bill?
I love flying. I really, really enjoy flying. It's exciting, and I've always enjoyed it, you know, even when I was a child. So it's something I never really had a fear about.
But we're going to find out that a lot of people do have, and it says here on page 28, the fear of flying, a job can mean flying in spite of your fear. Sometimes people have to fly.
That's right. They do have to fly. And I often think, Doris, that perhaps that should enter a job interview now. Do you have a fear of flying? Because you're going to be flying for your job.
That's funny. You know, you mentioned that because of all the job interviews I had throughout my business career, in sales and marketing, that question was never asked. And it is a legitimate question.
Well, Bill, if you're going to be a salesman, you better say, do you have a fear of talking to people? If you do, you better not get that job, right?
Well, speaking of fear, we're talking about different types of fears. We have a lot of people do have a fear of, like, rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And in sales, you better not have that fear. And so it keeps people from moving forward and progressing in their career.
So let's find out more about this fear of flying today. We'll take this subject. It's on page 28 in the magazine. And it's good to have the magazine so you can see the words we're talking about. Isn't that right, Lois?
Oh, for sure. I would want to have this in front of me, especially an article like this, Doris, because we're learning a lot today.
So at the very beginning, we're talking about somebody called Scott McCain, and we're going to see what happens. Let's just read the opening paragraph today.
Fear of flying. A job can mean flying in spite of your fear. Scott McCain has given a speech to a crowd of 25,000 people, a task that would set many a person's knees to knocking. But for McCain, public speaking isn't the scary part. My biggest fear is getting on the plane, going to the speech, says McCain, a business consultant and author who, despite his jangly nerves, has to fly for a living.
To give a speech to 25,000 people, Would that put your knees to knocking?
Well, your knees to knocking, it doesn't really actually happen, but your knees shaking and feeling maybe unsteady on your feet? 25,000 people? Yes, Doris, I think it might.
Well, just recently I had to play my trumpet in front of 55,000 people, and I looked at all those people and I thought, I'm just going to forget they're out there because otherwise it might start my knees to knocking.
Good for you.
But, you know, it's not easy to face large crowds sometimes. Isn't that right, Bill?
25,000 doors. Most people get scared if there's 25 people.
Right.
And they don't want to give a speech in front of that many people, which is a very normal thing. Public
right.
speaking is something that makes people nervous. But, you know, overcoming those fears will help you progress in life, and especially overcoming a fear of flying will open up doors for you also.
Right. And actually, for some people, like this man Scott McCain, he said that the public speaking wasn't the scary part for him. What was his biggest part?
The biggest fear is getting on the plane, getting to that speech. So just getting there was a real challenge for him.
He wasn't afraid of the people. He was afraid of the plane.
That's right. It's obviously a definite fear for him.
Is there any special word we use for people that have that phobia? I don't think so.
You know, for some people, Doris, I was thinking it might enter a bit of claustrophobia.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have been told that people, when the doors close on
mm-hmm.
the airplane, we have a friend named David, he says, I feel claustrophobic.
That means that you can't be in it and enclosed. But even people getting on an elevator feel that way. Oh, the doors are closing on the elevator. I have to get out. So you're afraid of being enclosed in a space you can't get out of.
That's right.
That could be it.
And once it gets up in the air, you can't get out.
Not very easily. Hey, that's right.
Hey, Doris, I want to spell claustrophobia for our listeners because
yes.
it is an important word here. And Lois mentioned it a couple times. That's claustrophobia. It's a long word, claustrophobia, and it means just a fear of enclosed spaces.
A lot of people have that.
Yeah.
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 I have a mom. My mom suffers with it quite bad, so.
And there's all kinds, fear of heights, fear of everything. But those that get on a plane, they are really afraid. And this man said he has these jangly nerves when he has to fly. So what are jangly nerves?
Means he's really sensitive
right.
to anything, and if anything happens, he just gets really nervous. So those are jangly nerves, somebody who is not calm. Now, I would say something about this claustrophobia, jangly nerves. Scott McCain has no problem standing in front of 25,000 people. It's a situation he actually can be in control of, right? He's controlling it. He's walking around a stage. He knows when he's going to start, when he's going to finish. Interesting. He steps into a plane, he gives up control of everything, and I think that's part of the root of the problem with fear of flying.
Maybe so. I don't know. We'll have to find out. This is a psychology article, so you have to study why people have all of these, but we're going to discuss it today. So let's face the fear. I think we should read down through about line 13 to the second column.
Facing the fear. McCain's not alone. According to the Valk Foundation, a Dutch institute focused on treating the fear of flying, 26 million Americans get the jitters at the thought of taking to the air. But many have no choice, especially when their job depends on it. Most people think that those of us that fly for business have no issues getting into a jet, says Ron Golsch, an electrical engineer who has to fly all over the world despite his discomfort? It's not that we have no problems flying. It is just that we have learned how to cope with it better than most. Some business trekkers utter a prayer before takeoff. Others toss back a sleeping pill or cocktail to calm their nerves. And some would-be flyers will drive whenever they can, even if it tacks hours onto their journeys.
Well, it's good to be back here to Facing the Fear, and I'm sure McCain is glad he's not alone with this fear, because it would make you kind of feel a bit strange if you were the only one that had this fear.
Well, 26 million Americans get jitters or get afraid at the thought of taking the air. I never thought of that. Many people.
I can believe that, Doris.
Really?
That's at least, we're talking about 10% of the population, mm-hmm. and maybe even a little bit less, but that's not a bad number. I tell you what, I know a lot of people that do not like to fly. A lot of people are uncomfortable with it, so.
Well, I
not
think
surprising.
It's fun to fly.
But, I do too, but I have an uncle that has only flown twice in his life. He tells me he'll never fly again, but he's a control freak, so maybe that's part of it.
In fact, Doris, my mom and my brother will not fly.
Is that right?
So my dad will fly, but out of four people, you're talking half the family that will not fly. My mom and my brother have not flown in over 25 years.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Goodness. Well, I know it's expensive. That's what I think of, but I'm not afraid of it, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, once I've crossed the ocean on a ship, I'm all for flying. You can
exactly.
get there a lot faster. You know,
that's
and even
right.
if you're driving across America, it's going to take you a long time, just a few hours to fly.
Exactly.
But I'm all for flying, Bill.
Yeah, well, flying is, once you reach a certain distance, you have to fly.
Yeah,
I'm all for flying. I want my husband to get a paycheck.
Yeah, that's right. Huh?
Now, I do want to say we've got, in a way, jitters can be a synonym for jangly nerves. We saw jangly nerves up there in line.
Mm-hmm.
17 and 18, jitters is synonymous with that. You just
right.
sit there. You can't sit still, and you're looking around, and you're breathing heavy, and your heart rate's up.
Yeah, well, you get jitters for a lot of things. If you're going to take a test, you can get the jitters.
Right. I think we often use that on little kids. That little Billy, he has the jitters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just won't sit still.
Right.
I think we think of it often as that, too.
But sometimes fears bring on the jitters, that we're a little bit afraid of something, so we get the jitters about it.
Sure. That can happen if we need to ask for something. We want to ask the boss for a raise. If I want to ask out a...
Yeah, what are you doing,
woman
what are
for
you
a
doing
date?
In my office, Bill?
I would get. I don't know why I'm here.
Jitters, right? Yeah, but you know, most people think that people that fly for business, well, they're flying all the time. They shouldn't have any problem. There should be no issues. If you have an issue with something, you have something against it or that you want to deal with. So I have no issues with flying. But you'd think people that did it all the time, it wouldn't bother them.
Yeah, no issues. That means just not a problem.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Right.
It's just part of your everyday almost. You think of that. It's not a problem. It's no issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes you say, well, we've learned how to cope with it. Now, if we have issues with something, we have to learn how to get along with it, to handle it, to cope with it.
Yeah, we have to cope with. We have to learn how to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
and what do we need to do to get rid of that fear?
Right, you have to learn how to cope with it better, and there's different ways of learning how to do that. I know for me, it's praying.
A lot of people pray before they drive their cars. It can be pretty dangerous. In fact, you have to even pray before you walk across some crowded streets sometimes, don't you?
You must be talking about my neighborhood, Doris.
So, you know, anything that you're afraid of. You know, say, hey, I need somebody bigger than me to help with this, and you send up a little prayer to heaven, right?
Well, I like what he's talking about here. You know, as far as how to cope with it, praying is one thing. Instead of avoiding it,
right.
I mentioned my mother and my brother, they avoid
right.
it. But now we're getting into, okay, we have to do this, so maybe we say a prayer, and then we see what other people might do to deal with it.
Well, some of them, they toss back or just throw out a sleeping pill. I guess I'll just have to take a sleeping pill or I'll drink something. It doesn't always calm their nerves.
No, it doesn't always calm your nerves. And I know that people in the industry wouldn't recommend this for people to do.
Well, this is actually a problem, this second part of this sentence right here. And in this, you know, a cocktail. I mean, the sleeping pill is bad enough, but also then a cocktail – because there's actually been problems on airplanes of people drinking too much because that's the only way they can deal with it. And the problem is they end up getting drunk and they end up causing issues with the flight attendants or other passengers. So would not recommend that.
Well, if you're going to a meeting, you want to be prepared mentally, and that just sort of takes away some of your thinking too.
That's right. And when you're flying at 33,000 feet, it hits you a lot faster, the alcohol as well.
Yeah.
So you have to consider that too.
So some people say, well, I'm just not going to fly. I'd much rather drive for hours, even if I have to drive 5 hours instead of taking a short plane trip.
Some people will do that. They'll drive or take trains. There's actually There's a famous announcer, sports announcer in America, a former football coach, who hated flying so much, he rides trains around the country. And so if he has to announce a football game on Sunday, he'll get on a train on Wednesday or Thursday, and he'll ride from Los Angeles to New York.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he needs to take some classes.
I think so. Well, it tacks on hours. It's tax on just means it adds on, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Right. Well, some people do have this problem, so we have to find out what the root is, what causes this. Let's read on, Bill, and find out more about it.
The fear of flying can be rooted in a range of phobias, from angst about being in a confined space to a fear of heights, to anxiety about not being in control, says Lucas von Gerwen, the Volk Foundation's director. Now, in an era of downloads and virtual assistants, there's a mobile app to help calm them. Developed by Volk, the app features a multifaceted menu. Passengers can learn about the phases of flight, from takeoff to landing, and the effects of fear, and get pointers on how to relax by avoiding caffeine and controlling their breathing, Van Gerwen says.
Well, this fear of flying is kind of a phobia, and we talked about phobia at the beginning of the program.
Yeah, Lois had mentioned claustrophobia, the fear of being in enclosed spaces, but phobia is there are many, many different phobias that people have. So, and it's a mental illness that actually can almost stop you and immobilize you from doing and moving forward in life.
Right. A phobia is such a strong fear that you just can't seem to overcome it.
Yeah, I know someone who has arachnophobia, which is a fear of spiders. I didn't know she had it. I was in a kitchen with her one time, and she saw a spider. I thought she'd gone completely nuts. She was that afraid.
Lois, that was afraid of dogs. We had little tiny dogs, tiny, real tiny ones. And a dog would come in the room, and she'd scream and stand up on a chair.
Wow.
You know, I mean, these phobias are bad.
Yeah, they control you, as Bill said.
Yeah. Well, it talks about the angst. What does that mean?
Well, angst is just being anxious.
The anxiety.
Yeah, and the anxiety. So, and having this extreme nervousness about something.
And this part of it is being confined to a small space, like you said. You know,
right.
Claustrophobia. But then also some people are afraid of heights. So the small space and the heights together, so much.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, the fear of heights, you know, people are, they're just not comfortable being up in a plane. And part of that, I have to say, two doors, part of it is the media, in that the media has, you know, anytime there is a problem with an airplane, right, it is big news on the media. If a plane has trouble in the air.
Crashes.
Or if there is, unfortunately, if there are crashes, well, of course, it's big news. We hear about every single thing that happens around the world now because of the internet. So I have to blame a lot of this on the media.
But I'll tell you what, if they would give the fear of being on motorcycles, which more people are killed on motorcycles and cars than are on planes.
Well, by far. You make a really, really good point, Doris. For instance, we've talked about car crashes in America in some of our newsworthy clips. There are over 30,000 people a year killed in America in car crashes. Now, you compare that to airplane crashes or accidents, it's tiny, mm-hmm. the number, but people just think, oh, an airplane.
Out
but they don't
control.
Think about getting in their car every day.
There's no control in a car crash either.
Well, people think they've got control.
Right.
Yeah, they think they have control. Very good point. And I don't know why so many people seem to have that problem with relinquishing control, because that's what happens with this. People will tell you about the airplane. They're fearful because somebody else is in control.
Yeah, but you know, everybody doesn't drive in the car. There's only one driver, and certain people kind of make you afraid. That's true, but they're in control. You're not in control when somebody else is driving either.
Good point.
Well, that's the thing. You can't control, well, if you're a passenger, you can't control it. But even if I'm the only person in the car, I can only control my car. There's thousands of other people out on the road that I am not controlling. It's a thing. It's an attitude that people feel, I can do this better than anybody else. So driving, I can control it and I can do it better than anybody.
Well, even in these crowded cities, being on motorcycles, they say, well, I'm very careful. You can be careful, but a bus or a truck swings around the corner and hits you no matter how careful you are. So, you know, nobody's in complete control, Bill.
Yeah, that's right.
A little prayer.
Well, that's right. God is in control. So you just look at we're looking at this sentence here in 15 and 16. Lines 15 and 16, that comes from Lucas Van Gerwen, who is the Valk Foundation's director. Now, we learned earlier in our reading that this Valk Foundation actually was the one that did the study and discovered 26 million Americans fear flying. And he credits it to this about not being in control thing.
But they do have something coming up now in this new era of downloads and virtual assistants. There's even a mobile app to help you. Did you know that?
Well, there's an app for just about everything, so not surprising.
I didn't know there was one like that. It calms you down. Yeah. Wonder what that does. What does it do?
Well, we have an app here. The app features a multifaceted menu, and the definition in our vocabulary focus for multifaceted is having many different aspects or features. So to me, Doris, it keeps you busy because passengers are learning and they're also about the phases of flight and from takeoff to landing. And now many airplanes actually will let you watch on the screen they're taking off
and
they're landing.
That could be scary, too.
But for some people, it helps, they say.
I'm not sure. To seeing that, but you better just close your eyes and relax.
Yeah. Well, this app is designed to calm people's nerves. And I think maybe it works educating people is one thing, learning about these things. But also, I think it's a distraction. If you can take people's minds off of things, that helps.
Right. And so you get helps or pointers on how to relax and, you know, don't drink too much caffeine. To some people, that makes them kind of jittery, have nervous.
That's right. That's
but
right.
It doesn't bother me. But if it bothers you, don't drink it, right? Or controlling your breathing and just take a deep breath. I like this picture that we have down here. It looks like somebody's really scared to death.
Not enjoying this flight.
She's not enjoying it at all.
She's not doing her breathing exercises.
No, that's right.
She's not breathing.
She should be playing Angry Birds or something on her iPad. That might help her, right?
You're right.
This is a great point here, this last thing, as far as avoiding the caffeine. It makes me think of our diet and actually what we do eat in preparation and on the flight. And one thing I would recommend, you probably do this, Doris, is one, take plenty of water.
Yes.
Try and get a bottle or two of water. Make sure you have water because you do get dehydrated on a plane.
Well, you don't have to take it. They serve water anytime you want it on a plane.
Well,
you're not even allowed to take it on sometimes nowadays.
But you know what a good point is? I take an empty bottle with me, and just before I get on the aircraft, I fill it up.
Do they let you take it on sometimes?
Yes, they do, because I've gone through security already.
Oh, okay.
And I take my empty bottle. It really helps.
Can you get some safe water?
Yes. Yeah.
The reason I wouldn't wait until they serve it on the plane is because once you sit on you enter the plane and you sit down in your seat, it's very possible you might be sitting there anywhere between 30, 45, 60 minutes until the plane actually takes off because of there are delays. You're waiting on the tarmac.
Bill, you're making me afraid now. You know,
that
rarely ever happens to me. You get on, and the first thing I sit down, they're saying, what do you want to drink, Bill? What planes are you flying on anyway?
Well, and they do that for you because you are a VIP.
No.
They never ask me while we're sitting there.
Serve everybody, Bill. Don't you think so? Well, the first thing they do is bring you something to drink.
You know what? Sometimes, though, Doris, I find economy this service is going downhill so much that sometimes you don't get the water right away.
Okay.
I do have to wait quite a while.
Because usually they just bring it on, you know.
Yeah.
They're pretty good about that in most planes. Yeah. I'd change the airlines then.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe I need to.
You're a VIP. I'm an NIP.
Oh, no.
Not important person. That's why you get the water.
I'm not a VIP.
I just get ignored.
They're serving everybody all around me water. I mean, I don't know what flights you're on, Bill. But anyway, drinking water is a good thing. And also just relax, read a magazine, talk to your friend, put in your earplugs and hear some nice music. Just relax.
Yeah, I try to have something to read. That's how I relax before the flight. And I usually take a book with me, something, you know, something, a psychology book I often take, and I'm reading about things or spiritual things.
He's kind of old-fashioned. He carries a book. He doesn't carry his iPad.
You know, I kind of carry a book, too.
Yeah. Well, the reason I have to carry a book is because a lot of times I have to have my electronic device turned off. So it's
now,
better to
have a
printed
book. Now, once you sit
down
on the plane, I don't know what planes it goes on. You can just turn those on
the
minute you're sitting down there. You can do your little readers and everything, you know.
You're a VIP. They look the other way with
you. No,
yeah,
Bill,
they do.
I think everybody on the planes is all reading stuff and having a great time talking to their friends, you know. But flying is just, you know, a very nice way to travel. And you know you're going to get there sooner, clean, and it's really nice. I like flying.
I'm glad. I like it too, Doris.
So having a positive attitude helps too. It's kind of fun, you know, when you're going down the runway and you're on the ground and you're going to see when those wheels take off. And all of a sudden you're not and you're going up in the air. It's exciting.
I want to get on a flight right now.
I think it's really cool. I think the takeoff speed, you've got to be at about 165 miles per hour for takeoff. I just think that is the coolest thing to be going that fast.
You know, we should go to some of these classes and help these poor people who have these full
zero
social thing.
Yeah, we'll get some tips from Michael. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of fun to talk about it anyway. And in spite of the fear of flying, some people have to fly. So there are people working on this, doing different things, and that's what we found out today.
Right. And tomorrow we're going to learn more about how people are managing that fear.
So be sure and come back with us. We'll all be here waiting for you. See you then. Have a nice day today, and be careful whatever you drive, motorcycle, cars, or if you're on a plane. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.